Lamed Zayin. So we got to the last line of Lamed Vav Beis. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbanan, Ein Ofen Pas Ava BePesach Divrei Beis Shammai. A person cannot make a very thick piece of matzah. That's according to Beis Shammai. But Beis Hillel Omrim, Beis Hillel Matirin, rather, Beis Hillel permits one to make a thick piece of matzah. So, Kama Pas Ava, how does one define what exactly is the measurement of thick matzah? Amrif Huna, Tefach, the size of a tefach, if it's a tefach high, that's acceptable according to Beis Hillel. Shekein matzinu b'lechem apanim, that's what we find b'lechem apanim. It was a tefach big, and lechem apanim, although it's called bread, and we typically assume it's actual bread, it's lechem, it's really matzah. And if the lechem apanim was matzah, and a tefach big, so too our matzah could be a tefach big as well. The interesting discussion based on this limud, learning matzah from lechem apanim, there's a discussion in the poskim, the shape to make the matzah should be round and should be square. So according to Stechem, he points out that the shape of lechem apanim was actually rectangular, so there might be a raya for the matzah to be rectangular or square as well. The Tshuvas Yehuda Yala writes, however, that by machine matzah, it's acceptable to be square for chametz reasons, but he said for the handmade matzahs, it actually should be round, not based on the lechem apanim. And he brings a few different reasons why it should be round, but one of the rayas are, at least, is because it calls them ugos matzos in the Torah, and ugos Rashi is a lashon eagle, a round, a circular shape, and that's one of the reasons he felt there's a minug to have them a circular based on what happened in the Midbar, not based on the model of the lechem apanim. Either way, the Gemara says in terms of the height, the width of it, it could be a tefach wide, tefach high. So the Gemara says, wait a second, how could you really learn from lechem apanim to apply this to a regular matzah? There's so many differences between lechem apanim and the base of Mikdash, the way it's baked, versus the way we make a matzah in our own house or the matzah factories. So what does it mean? Maskevla Rav Yosef, im amru bezrizim, yomru b'sheinim bezrizim. So tefach, the bigger it is, the larger dough it is, the more chashash, the greater chashash there is for chametz. So if you're going to say, by the zrizim in the base of Mikdash, so they can make a tefach big lechem apanim, it won't turn to chametz. But us, yomru b'sheinim bezrizim, and im amru pas amela, if you're talking about pas amela, where the lechem apanim was constantly worked, and the more you work it, the less likely it will become chametz, as opposed to the pas sheina mela, that's not so overworked when it comes to the regular matzah, that might turn into chametz. And furthermore, im amru be'etim yaveshim, yomru be'etim lachim, when it came to the wood in the base of Mikdash, it was very, very hot because they used dry wood. Dry wood gets hotter, it gets catches fire easier, as opposed to the wood we use in our house, it's still lachim a little bit, and it won't generate as much of a fire, and won't bake as quickly. And im amru b'taner cham, if you're going to buy a very, very hot taner like that in the base of Mikdash, so that would bake quickly and avoid any concern of chametz. Yomru b'taner tzoni, but a colder oven like we have, there's a greater concern of chametz. And im amru b'taner shamatechas, a metal oven which is hotter in the base of Mikdash, yomru b'taner shacharis, a regular taner that was made of earthenware, pottery in our houses. So for these 5-6 different distinctions, you cannot really use the model of lechem apanim, the tevachai, and apply this to a matzah. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Sheila says Rebbe, be Yichud. Rav Yirmiyah said, ask Rebbe in privacy. We'll see what that Yichud means in just a second. Umanu, who was it? Rav. So he asked his Rebbe, Rav. And Nikodami, others say, Amar Rav Yirmiyah bar Abba, Amar Rav, Sheila says Rebbe, be Yichud. Rav asked his Rebbe, be Yichud, Manu Rabbeinu HaKadosh. So what does it mean, be Yichud? Rashi says here, be Yichud means, Beinu Leveni, ask him privately. Ravia the Rabbi Yirmiyah was Rav, and Rabbi the Rav, Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Okay, so unclear who is talking to. Lishna Achrina, another interpretation of B'yichud means B'yichud B'birah. Find out the answer, not Lashon of B'yichidus, but B'yichud means there should be clarity. So find out the answer to the following Shiloh. So the Gemara says, my pas ava. What does it mean, pas ava? He answered, it means pas meruba, not a large piece of dough in that it's very thick, rather that's a lot of dough that was mixed together. We'll look at Rashi in a second. Because it required a lot of kneading. So look at Rashi, what it means, pas meruba. Pas meruba means harbe chararin biyacha. They put many, many doughs of matzah together. Not an issue of chamet at all. The issue here is, the piece of matzah were made very, very thin, like ours. It's referring to making a lot of pieces of matzah is the concern. Not because it was a lot, it was thick, because you had many of them. It's pas meruba. And that's the reason, because of a tircha, nothing to do with turning into chametz. It's just overworked, because they made so many pieces of matzah, that was the concern. So the Gemara says, Ibaisema. Alternatively, ba'asre dehai tana le pas meruba, pas ava karile. No, really, the truth is, it sounds like it's really explaining this first answer here, that pas meruba, they call pas meruba pas ava. That's how they called it. Many doughs was called pas ava. So Rashi explains here, why is it called Pas Ava? Because Belisha, Kishaloshin, when they would knead the dough, Oso Avahi, Ha'isa, Kshi Kuliyachet. The way it would work is you ever go to a matzah factory, they start with like a big piece of dough, and then they separate it into little pieces and little balls here and there. So since it started with a large kneading dough, that was called Pas Ava, but in the Maisa, they made them into small Pas Merubas, very little dakin along the way. So it's not talking about thick matzahs, but the kneading, the dough itself initially, was very thick. So then the Gemara says, then if that's the case, my time, so again, high tana la pas muba pas avakarle. So my time, what's the issue here then? If you're not making a thick matzah, there's no issue of chametz. So what's the chashash? What's the machlokas, whether you can make pas av or not pas ava? Beishama says you can't. So Gemara says, my time, imishim the katarach, tircha de la tarach. So if it's because you're doing a tircha yaseira, you're overworking yourself because you're doing a lot of dough, and it's an issue with tircha, nothing to do with chametz. So this should not be a relevant issue on Pesach only. This should also apply to all Yom Tovim. My Yirya BePesach. Why does it say? Why does Beis Shammai say you can't make a Pas Ava thick dough on Pesach because it's overworking? Afil B'Yom Tov Nami, you shouldn't make an irregular Shavuos Sukkos. You shouldn't make a lot of dough, a big kneading of dough because it's Tircha Yaseira. And Gemara says, Einachanami, you're right. This din, this machlok is Beis Hillel Shammai, about Pas Ava has nothing to do with chametz. It's all about Tircha Yaseira, and that same machlokas applies to all Yom Tovim. So why is it only mentioned by Pesach? So Gemara says, "V'haytana b'yom tov shePesach kai," because the Brisa was just commenting about halachas of Pesach, that this also would apply to Pesach, but not only Pesach, but it was like in Maseches Pesachim, let's say. So that's why he addressed the question in Maseches Pesachim, but Ein Hachanami applied to Shavuos and Sukkos and Rosh Hashanah, and so on. And the Gemara brings a Brisa to prove this point. Tanya Nami Hachi, the Brisa says that Beishami Omrim ain't open Pas Ava B'yamtif, not Pesach, B'yamtif, but Beisil Matin, he permitted one to make Pas Ava on a regular Yamtif. Halach L'maisa, how do we pass him in regards to Pas Ava? So can a person, Lichat Chila, make a matzah very, very thick up until a Tefach? The Ritva says one cannot make a matzah that thick up until a Tefach. The Miri says, Lichat Chila, you're allowed to actually make a matzah, a Tefach, a thick. That's how he paskins. L'maisa in the Shulchan Aruch says a person should not make an tefach wide, but you can make it less than that. It could be half a tefach if you wanted. The Ramah is very strong. The Ramah says it has to be as dark, as thin as you possibly could make it. That's how he paskins. But the Eved, the person made a thick matzah, as long as it's below a tefach, even the Ashkenazim would say it's mutter, but the Eved, if there are no other choices. As we know, the Svardim, some of the Svardim have matzahs that are like as thick as a lafa, which is not a tefach quite, but it's probably a quarter of a tefach or so. That is not a chametz according to all opinions. A Ashkenazi wouldn't eat it, but we'd be able to touch it and own it. It wouldn't be an issue. But that's how the poskim paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Based on the Sugya of Menachos, it's very clear. Yep. The Gemara says four wide lines down, Tanur Rabbanan. Yotin bepas nikiya, a person that could be yotze the mitzvah matzah with clean white bread, which is removed all the different, the waste of the chitas. Padra is referring to a very coarse type of bread. Ubisarikin hamutsuyar bepesach, if it was a type of matzah that was shaped, Rashi says, some say it's actually referring to a seasoned matzah. The Gonim argument say that wouldn't make sense because we know matzah shira, which is seasoned, is ready, not yotze. So this is referring to a different category. Basarikin hamutsuyar, Rashi says, they were having some type of special shape they made to the matzah. He says, afapi sha'amru ein osin tsrikin hamutsuyar bepesach, that a person can be yotze, even though a person shouldn't make them. If one did have them, it would be yotze with these matzahs as well. So Amar of Yehuda, Davar zeh shal baitus ben zonin l'chachamim. Baitus ben zonin asks chachamim, b'pnei ma amru ein osin srikin hamitzuyam bepesach. What's the reason why they said not to make these shaped matzahs? Amar lo, they said, m'pnei she isha shoha aleha u mechmatzasa, which means that since it takes time to shape it, so you don't just make the dough and make it circular and let it go. You shape it, you make it like a star, you make it like a heart, whatever shape, and that takes time. The more you delay in the process, the more likely it will turn into chametz, and for that reason they said, don't make any shaped matzahs. So amalem, so very easy, I have a very simple solution. This way the woman won't have to actually shape it. Efshir yasana bedvus, make a dvus, make a certain shape, a little mold. You place the matzah in the heart mold, you place the matzah in the star mold, and there you have it. You don't have to busy shape it. There's no waiting at all. So the Gemara says, vikvenu kivun, and this way you have it precise and no waiting. So Amrullah, they said back, Yomru klas harikin asurin, but sriki baitis mutarin. So you're going to say all types of fancy bakers, you can't use their matzahs because they have to shape it with their hands. But the bakers of baitis, they could use it because they have these special molds. We don't want to make any distinction to a low plug, and therefore across the board, even though there's room to be lenient for those who have this type of mold, they made it across the board that nobody should have any shaped matzahs. So the Gemara then says, Amar Rebbe Elazar bar Tzadok pam achas one time, nichnasti acher abba lebeis Rebbe Gamliel. I once followed my father into the house of the Rebbe Gamliel. Ve'evil lefanav srikin ha-mutsuyar me-pesach with Pesach, and they brought these shaped matzahs. So Amarti Abba, I said to my father, lokach amru chachamim, don't we have a statement in the name of chachamim? Ein osin srikin ha-mutsuyar me-pesach. We don't make shaped matzahs. So Amar li bini, so he says to me, my dear son, lo shel kol adam amru, this wasn't an isser that applied to the average person, ela shonach tom amru, only applied to bakers. Why? So Rashi explained the difference between bakers and a regular person. So Rashi says, lo shel kol adam amru laser, the baal habayis ha'osa osan la'asma, a person who makes his own shaped matzah in his own house, eino choshesh li'afosan kolkach, he doesn't care that's so exact, it's so precise. We know there's a difference between a homemade cake and a bakery cake. There's a difference. The guy making it home, the girl making it home, doesn't care so much of the shape. They do a little bit of a heart, a little bit of a star, but it's not going to be precise. And therefore, ain't no shoa alein, a person won't wait, they won't delay so much. There's not a real chashash of a chametz when it comes to a homemade shaped matzah. That was his first explanation. And then the Gemara says, ikadamri, others say, hachi kamerle. Lo shanach tomim amru ela shekol adam. Really, it's aser for have everyone to have anyone make a shaped matzah, whether it's a baker, whether it's homemade. But Amar Yosi osin srikin kamin rikikin vein osin srikin kamin gluskalos. It depends how thick the matzah is. If it's a very thin type, if it's kamin rikikin, then you're actually allowed to make them shaped because the thinner they are, the less likelihood it will become chametz. But if it's a gluska, more of a thick type of matzah, which is acceptable at least as long as it's tefach or lower, then when it's already more of a dough, that's where we said it's a problem. That's the distinction. Lemaisa, we don't allow for people to make shaped matzahs, but this is the discussion whether it applies only to a nachtom or applies even to everyone, but it might be a distinction between rikikin versus gluskos. So then the Gemara has a whole list of different types of matzahs that don't work, that don't satisfy our obligation for the mitzvah of matzah. The Gemara quotes a braisa taner abanam. Hasufganian, which is a dough fried in oil. Hadufshanin is fried or baked with honey. This gritin, which are very, very thin, thin type of matzah. It's not considered bread, not even considered matzah. It's even thinner than that. And v'chalas hamasaris, which is made in a pan. Hamuduma, which is a chuma and chul mixed together. All of these are pturin min chala. They're pata from chala. The reason why they're pata from chala is because they're not considered lechem. The first few are not lechem. Fried dough is not considered bread. Mixed with honey is not considered bread. And the reason why the last one is a meduma, meduma is pturin, since there's chuma mixed with chulim, you can only be mafresh chala from that which is chulim. You can't be mafresh chala from that which has chum in it, so that's why it's pater from chala. But there's a long list of things that are pater from chala. So the Gemara says, my chalas hamasaris. What does it mean that you have dough made in a pan? The Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, cholat shababatim. When it was boiled, you boiled in water, like bagels of some sort, you boiled in water, that would not be considered dough. Our bagel is a little bit different than what I'm describing right now, but you put dough and you have it boiled in water, that's cooked, that's not called challah, that would be pater from hafrashas challah. So Amar Rish Lakish says, halalu maisa ilfasein, and Rabbi Yochanan bar, maisa ilfas chayavim, v'halu she'asan b'chama. What does that mean? Rish Lakish explains the reason why these are pater, because maisa ilfas means a frying pan. When something's made in a frying pan, then Rish Lakish says that's actually pater from challah. That's the reason why all these things listed are pater, because they're made in a frying pan. Rabbi Yochanan argues and says, no, maisa ilfas is chayavim. If you make dough in a frying pan, that's actually called challah, and lechem, you have to be mafresh challah. The reason why these are pater, because these are not even considered like being made in a frying pan, they're like being made in the sun. Made in the sun is certainly not called baking. But made in a frying pan is considered baking. But these things listed here are considered like in the sun. So look at Rashi, just to be a little bit clear on this. Rashi writes, look at Rashi, three wide lines down. He says, Maisa ilfasein, lefikach, says Reish Lakish, since they're made in a frying pan, lav lechemu, that's not called bread. The kasavar, ein lechem ela ha'afoy betaner, only if it's made in an oven, as it says in the pasuk, which the Gemara is going to invoke on Amr Beis, k'dechsev lachmechem betaner echad, only then is it called bread. If it's in a frying pan or something else, that's not called bread, that's Reish Lakish's understanding. But v'lahalalu l'hachi p'turin, says Reish Lakish, l'fisha asan b'chama v'lobet or. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, the reason why the pata is because since they're made based on heat, not based on fire. There's a difference between heat and fire. That's why those are pater. But when it came to being made in a frying pan is considered fire, says Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, and that's why they would be chayv in Hafrash Hashchala. So that's all agave Hafrash Hashchala. So now the Gemara asks the following shaila. Meisive. Hasuf ganin vaduvshin vaskritin asan ve'ilfas chayavim. Bechama pturin. If they're made in a frying pan, the chayev, like Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, rather, they're made in the sun, so then they're actually pater. Tiyufta, the Reish Lakish. So Amar Ula, Ula says back, Amar Lacha Reish Lakish, hacha b'maya skin. What's the case here? That even Reish Lakish will agree that these cases would actually be chayev in chala. It's shir tiach ula v'sof hidvik. If you first boiled it, and then afterwards you were madbik it on the pot, and it cooked by being on the lining of the oven or lining of a pot, that he would agree you're actually chayev. Aval hidbik l'fasof hirtiach, if first you had it put in the oven, then afterwards the din would be, then you boil it, and the second stage would be boiling it. My hachanami de pater, he would agree that you're pater in that case. So according to Reish Lakish, it depends on what's the final act. If the final act is a type of act that's like a tanner, it'd be chayev. If the final stage is the one that's more like a frying pan, that would actually be pater. So the Gemara says, once you have this distinction of hirtiach l'fasof hidbik, versus hidbik, the order of things. So adatani sefer, once the brayse already made a distinction, asan bechama pturin liflog v'lisei bedidei. Now we have this cloud we know many places. Once the Mishnah is in the it's making distinctions. Once there's one distinction to make, and may as well make a second distinction. So Gemara says adatani sefer, from the fact that sefer says asan bechama pturin, that if you make it in the chama, it's pater. Liflog v'lisei bedidei. Let's make a further distinction and say, it's when you first put it in the, you know, boiled it, and then you put it on the side of the pan, side of the oven. But if you put it in the oven, then afterwards you boiled it, that should be pater. So why didn't the Mishnah make that type of distinction as well? So the Gemara says, chasur mechzer, there's something missing here in the Mishnah, and the Braisa, v'achi katani, what it should really say is, when is this true? When you boiled it, and then you put it on the side of the oven. If you put it on the side of the oven and then you boil it after the fact, it's nasek kemisha son becham. It's as if you made it in the sun, which would be pater, which sounds like both those are implied. Meaning the two reasons why, according to Rabbi Yochanan, one would be pater, either because it's made in the sun, or because you first baked it and then you put it in the water afterwards. Those are two different pturim. But if they're made regularly in a frying pan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, you'd be chayv, and according to Reish Lakish, one would be pater. Okay, a little bit complicated about how to make these different types of doughs. The Gemara now says, last four lines of the Amudim. Tashma. Yotzin b'matzah hina, uv'matzah ha'asuya b'ilfas. The Braisa clearly says, what's yotzin b'matzah hina? What's matzah hina? Matzah hina, Rashi says, if you look at Rashi, last two lines, my matzah hina, klomer kama te'afe v'hen yotze ba. Sorry, that's not what I wanted, the one before that. Hina, four lines up. Eina afuya kol tzarcha, it's not fully cooked, not fully baked. Lashon al tochlu mimeno na. It's a pasuk by the Karban Pesach. You can't eat the Karban Pesach raw. Don't eat it na. So lashon hina is hey na, lashon of raw. So if it's a matzah that's not completely baked, it's somewhat raw. But even though it's somewhat raw, the Braisa says yotzin b'matzah hina. You could be yotze with that. And also, uv'matzah hasuya b'ilfas, you could also use a matzah made in a frying pan. So that sounds like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. So Gemara says, no, the reason why you could use this is because even Reish Lakish would agree, Hachanami shir tiach l'vasof hidbik. First you had boiled it in oil of some sort, or water, and then you had it baked afterwards. Even Reish Lakish would agree that this would be acceptable matzah as long as the final stage was hidbik on in the oven. So then the Gemara asks, my matzah hina, what exactly is this raw bread, this raw matzah, that's acceptable? Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, kol she pursa, if you were to crack it, vein chutin nimshachet himanu, and the strings that wouldn't attach. We know if you make dough, you try to separate dough, it's going to have these strings pulling. When you make bread, when it's after it's baked, you just break it and then they don't attach to each other. So if it's baked enough, whereby for you to break the matzah, they wouldn't the strings wouldn't touch each other, dough wouldn't touch each other, that's considered baked enough, even though it's not fully baked, but that's baked enough for one to be yotze. So the Gemara then adds, Amar Rava v'chein lachme toda. The same is true of the bread of the carbon toda, that if one were to bake the carbon toda to such a point where it's matzahina, if it gets to the point where if you were to break it, the chutin would not be nimshachin, everything would separate nicely, that would also be acceptable for the lachmei toda. Whatever is the din by the matzah would be the same din by lachmei toda. To which the Gemara says, pshita, that's obvious. Why would there be a chilek between what satisfies matzah versus what satisfies lachmei toda? So the Gemara says, hachal lechem ksiv, hachal lechem ksiv. They're both called lechem. The Torah calls matzah lechem oni, and the Torah calls lechem toda lechem. So whatever din applies to one lechem should apply to the other. So what's the chiddush of Rava that chayin lachmei toda? So the Gemara says, Mao the same, what would you have thought? Hol b'ksiv, v'hikri mimenu, since it says in the pasuk by lachmei toda, hikri mimenu echad mikol karban. We know the way it worked when it came to the karban toda, there were a total of 40 loaves of bread, four different types. So 10 types, 10 of this type, 10 of that type, 10 of this type, and 10 of that type. Three of them were actually matzah, one was bread. So you have to give one of each type, four total, one of each type, to the kohen. The other 36 are eaten by family and friends to celebrate the hodah. So either way, the pasuk says you have to give echad mikol karban, one. What does it mean echad? So Gemara darshes echad shlo yitol prus v'hacha kaman deparis damim. You shouldn't give a part of a bread; you should give a full loaf. So since this bread is not fully baked, maybe it's considered as if it's broken. It's not an echad. Kamash v'la that no, this satisfies what's considered echad. As long as when you were to break the lachmei toda, the strings don't stay attached to each other. That's enough of that's called echad and satisfies the requirements of lachmei toda. Okay. So now the Gemara says we're still going back and forth between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan about Maisa Ilfus, whether or not that which is made in a frying pan is considered a good matzah or good bread or not. So Gemara is going to go on a bit of a brisa, long brisa now. A little bit confusing. There are a few different opinions, multiple opinions, unclear who says what. The brisa get a little confused about the different shittas, but let's just kind of take it slow and we'll get to the bottom line. What exactly is the question from this brisa? So the Gemara says as follows. Ha-mi'isa, we'll have to define mi'isa in just a few lines as well. Ha-mi'isa be'shamai potrin u'be'sil machayavim. Ha-chlita, which is something else, which we'll see, be'shamai machayavim be'sil potrin. So they say the opposite by mi'isa and chalita. So ezo mi'isa ve'eta ha-chlita, how do we define these terms? Ha-mi'isa is kemach shal gave mugloshim. Mi'isa is when you take the dough and you pour dough into hot water or hot oil. You put the dough on top, the flour on top. Achlita is the opposite. Mugloshim shagabe kemach is where you pour the water on top of the flour. So again, the first case is me'isa, where you're putting flour into water, and achlita is where you're putting water into flour. These are opposite cases. And they have a machlokas, whatever Beis Shammai says, he's potter by me'isa, you're chayiv by achlita, and Beis Hillel says the opposite, in terms of chayiv chal. So then the Gemara says, a third opinion, now Rabbi Shulbar, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Mishum Aviv, in the name of his father Rabbi Yossi, Zev Zev Liftor. He thinks both me'isa and both chalita are pater from chala. That's not called chala. However, Amrilo, others say, no, he actually said v'zeh l'chiv. Both cases are actually chayiv. So those are four different opinions. Either one chayiv, one pater, or both chayiv, or both pater. And then we have chachamim omrim, which is really what we need from the brisa here. Chachamim omrim, echad zeh v'echad zeh, asan be'ilpes pater, betanur chayiv. Depends how you make it. If you're making this in the frying pan, it's pater from chala. If you're making it in the oven, it's chayiv and chala. And then the Gemara says that the Tanakama, Maisha Me'isa, Maisha Chalita, the Tanakama, what was the difference? Why by Me'isa does Beis Hillel say Chayiv and Chalita Beis Hillel says Pater? What's the difference? So Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, V'chein Amr Yehuda, V'itema Rabbi Yishub ben Levi, Ki Machlokas Bezu, Kach Machlokas Bezu. Really, it should be consistent. In other words, when we said initially that Me'isa, Beis Hillel says Chayiv, he also means HaChalita is also Chayiv. And the Brice who says Chalita, Beis Hillel says Pater, he thinks that Misa is also Pater. In other words, these two initial opinions of Misa and Chalita were two different opinions, not the same person teaching it. So Beis Hillel was actually consistent according to one opinion, that both cases are Chayiv, and the other opinion felt, Beis Hillel felt, that both are Pater. So look at Rashi just to make this a little bit clear. Rashi says, Kimachlokes zu, Kolomar, four narrow lines down, Kolomar ha-machayiv bezu, machayiv bezu. The one who says Beis Hillel thinks Chayiv in one case, thinks you're Chayiv in the other case. Meaning if you're Chayiv in Misa, Beis Hillel also thinks Chalita is also chayiv and chala. And the one who holds a poter bezu, the one who says Beis Hillel is poter by chalita, thinks she also poter by misa. So there's a consistency. The reisha, the mapech pluksai, the reisha that actually switched the shitas of Hillel and Beis Shammai, lav chada tana amrinu. It wasn't said by one tana, the kasha hadali, and that's why there's a stira. Umisha shanazu, lo shanazu, the one who taught the case of chalita did not agree by misa and vice versa. And therefore, he says, "Hai Tana Islay Dimichomer Beis Shammai Umikul Beis Hillel." One holds that this is one of the things that Beis Shammai is always more machmir. So this is another case where he's machmir. That these cases would both be chayv and chala. Beis Hillel would say they're both pater and chala. He's mekel. The Tana, the other one thinks Chalita hu adin l'misa. Whatever you said about Chalita would be true of Misa. And the other Tana thinks Hai Yisrael dimikulu beis Shammai v'chomer beis Hillel. This is one of the examples where beis Shammai is actually mekel, beis Hillel is a machmer. Really, where beis Hillel would say both Chalita and Misa would be chayv. So it's not said by, it's not a stira. It's said by two different Tanaim. And that's what the Gemara means back inside now. Kimachlok is bezu. Kach machlok is bezu. V'tavru misha shanazu. This stira, misha shanazu, lo shanazu. The one who taught chlita was not the same person who taught misa. Okay, so that's a bit of a confusing brisa. But what we're trying to draw out from this brisa is the following statement the Gemara says. Gemara does say, katani mias, what we can draw out is, chacham omrim, echadzeh, vechadzeh, sha'asan be'ilfus, pater, bitaner, chayiv. Depends how you make it. If you're making in the frying pan, you're pater. You make it in the oven, you're chayiv. That's going to be a tiyufta. Rav Yochanan, who felt maisa ilfos, is actually chayiv in hafrashas challah. So the Gemara says, Amar lecha Rav Yochanan, tanahi. It's really machlokas tanayim. The Tani, the Braisa says, Yachal ye mi'isa v'chaluta chayavim b'chala. One might have thought, if you make the dough in the water, or the water into the dough, onto the flour, once we chayiv in challah, Tamalomar lechem. It says the pasuk lechem oni, and apparently this is not called lechem. That's not called bread. So Rabbi Yehuda Omer ain lechem ella ha'afi b'taner. He says it has to be baked in an oven. So what's the difference? They both agree that meisa and chaluta don't work. It's not chayv and challah. So how come the Tanakhama stretches lechem oni? Rabbi Yehuda stresses that which is baked in the oven. What's the difference? Rabbi Yehuda ha'ini Tanakhama. They both agree. Aren't they both saying that meisa and chaluta are pater and challah? What's the nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakhama? Is it not the nafkamina being that maisa ilfas, that when you bake it in a frying pan, that's the question whether that's called the matzah and chayv and challah or lechem or not. So Gemara says, Tanakama holds savor maisa ilfas chayavim, that maisa ilfas is chayav, meaning you don't have to dafka be in a taner. It just says you don't have meisa and chaluta don't work. But if it's made in maisa ilfas, you are chayv and challah. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Maisa Ilfas Pater, is Pater because he says it has to dafka be in a tanner. Anything that's not in an oven is actually Pater, so therefore Maisa Ilfas will be Pater, according to Rabbi Yochanan, or Rabbi Yehuda rather. So this very question of Rabbi Yochanan versus Reish Lakish about Maisa Ilfas is really Machlokas Tanayim between Rabbi Yehuda and Tanakama, where the Maisa Ilfas is Chayv and Chal. And the Gemara says, not true. Lo. The Chulyama, Maisa Ilfas Pturin, really Maisa Ilfas is Pater, like Reish Lakish. But hacha, the machlokas here is kagon shechazar v'afal b'taner kamitzlagi. Let's say they first fried it in a frying pan, and then afterwards they put it into the oven. Will that baking in the oven then be mevatel the chaloshem of the ma'isa ilfos, and it's considered lechem? Or once it's baked once in the frying pan, it's pater from challah forever. So Gemara says again, kagon shechazar v'afal b'taner kamitzlagi. Tanakama savar kaven shechazer v'afal b'taner lechem krinabe. Since you now rebaked in the oven, it's called lechem and chayv and challah. Rabbi Yehuda savar ain lechem ella ha'afal b'taner meikara. You only call something bread if it was initially baked in a oven. V'kaven the meikara lav b'taner afia lav lechem. Since this was initially made in ma'isa ilfas in a frying pan, not in an oven, it's not called lechem according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara wants to know, why does Rabbi Yehuda think, why did he so machben on dafka the taner initially? Why won't baking in the oven afterwards change the chaloshem? So Gemara explains, Amar Rava, my timer, the Rabbi Yehuda, why is he so machben on just being baked in the oven initially, and that's it? The chesiv, it says in the pasuk, V'ofu eser nashim lachmechem b'taner echad, lechem ha'afu b'taner echad kari lechem, v'she'en afu b'taner echad ein kari lechem. In other words, he's darshing the pasuk, b'taner echad. What's it called, lachmechem? When bread is baked in taner echad in one oven, but if it's baked in two different places, a taner and a maisa ilfas, that's not called lechem, and it would be considered, it would be pater from hafrashas chal. According to this Tanakama, at least, it's completely pater. The initial brisa had a whole discussion, but according to this latest brisa, it's completely off.
It doesn't make
exactly. The Gemara then says, last 8 lines or so of the Amun. Yosef Rabba, Yosef Achare de Rabbi Zera, Rabba, Rabbi Yosef was sitting behind Rabbi Zera. And Yosef Rabbi Zera, Kame de Ula, Rabbi Zera was sitting right in front of Ula. So they had like different lines and like classrooms. So like Rabbi Zera was right in the front, he was close to Ula, and Rabba and Yosef were in the back row. They didn't want to ask the Rebbe a question. So they whispered to Rabbi Zera, that Rabbi Zera, they passed a note, that Rabbi Zera said, ask Ula the following Shiloh. So what was the note, or what was the message they asked Rabbi Zera to ask of Ula? So Amar Le Rabba whispered to Rabbi Zera, Boy Mine, ask Rebbe, ask Ula, Me'ula hidbik mibifnim v'yatiach bibichutz mahu. Let's say you attach the dough to the wall of the pan, and then you put it over the fire, you boil it. On the outside, what's the dinner? If you look at Rashi, Rashi hidbik mibifnim halacham bi'ilfis. meaning you stick the dough to the inside of the frying pan. Then you put it on top of the fire, right? Regular, you have it boil from the outside. The fire's on the outside of the pan, and the dough is on the inside of the pan, and you let it bake. Find out, is that considered a good, is that chiv challah? So Reb Zera says back to me, says, Amrlei, my Amrlei, what are you saying? Diaminolei, if I tell him, Amrlei, he's going to sell him, tell me the answer, hey, new myselfus, this is myselfus. I mean, what's the shaila? It's a pasha, this is a classic case of myselfus. You want to tell me a question, I ask a good question, this isn't a good question. This we know the din. So Amrlei Rav Yosef, now Rav Yosef turns, who's also in the back row, Rav Yosef, not Rabba this time, Rav Yosef says to Rabbi Zera, Bayimunei, ask Ula the following, ask me Ula, Hidmik me bifnim. Let's say you put the dough on the inside of the ilfus again. Vafuka kinegdumal. Now this case isn't where the fire is on the outside, the classic way of frying something, but actually put it on the dough, on the pan. Now turn the pan upside down while it's attached to the frying pan and put the fire directly on the dough. What's the din in that case? Mahu. Is that going to be considered chayiv and chal? Is that considered lechem? Rashi explains here, vavuka kinegdo, milamala, or maybe in his case, I thought putting it down, but let's say you take the, leave the pan the regular way, you take fire and put it over it, you put a fire with a candle or, and you come out, burn it that way, you cook it that way. What's the din? Rashi says, v'chom ha'esh lohet be'ilfus, it's inside the frying pan, u'mimahir afiyaso, and it bakes very quickly that way. So mahu, miyave ke'en tanur olo. Is that kind of like an oven or not like an oven? So what does he say back? So Amrlei, my Amrle, what's he going to say? Di aminolei, if I tell him this question, Amrlei, rov anim osin kein. This is how apparently the anim normally eat and make their food. Why do they eat this way? Rashi says, rov anim osin ko maisa ilfus kein. This is a classic case of maisa ilfus for the anim. Why? Shein lev eitan, they don't have wood. Ubekachu memaher lafos. They can't afford to buy all the wood. So the quicker way to bake is by using fire from the top somehow, and that's considered a normal way of eating, and that certainly would be maisa ilfus. So how are we passing by maisa ilfus regarding the machlokis reshlok? Reb Yochanan, Tanakhama Reb Yehuda would dictate the halacha in this very case as well, and therefore Reb Zera did not ask either of these questions to Ula. So let's review quickly. We start off with discussing machlokes beis Hillel beis Shammai about pas ava. Beis Shammai says pas ava is a pater from one's not yotzi the mitzvah. Beis Hillel says one can mekayim the mitzvah with pas ava. What is pas ava? First opinion was we learned from lechem apanim that's the size of a tefach. We said there's a big distinction between all the different ways that they cook much quicker than beis hamikdash versus a homemade matzah, and therefore you cannot learn the size of a tefach. Then we said maybe pas ava means pas meruba, making a lot of different matzahs, and maybe it has nothing to do with chametz at all, it has to do with a tir chisera, which means it applies even to a yantiv. Then we discussed different types of srikin hamitsuyarim, different types of shaped matzahs. That person shouldn't do this because it takes time to shape it, and therefore it's usr. Machlok is whether it applies the isr to a homemade matzah or only to nachtomin. And then we discussed a whole different series of different types of doughs regarding hafrashas challah. We said sufkanim, dufshanim, iskartin, and meduma, and we went back and forth about frying it and then baking it, or baking it versus frying it. Machlokes Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan about Maisa Ilfas, and that long Raisa trying to fit in as well, which we connect the Machlokes Reish Lakish and Reb Yochanan to Machlokes of Tanakama, Reb Yehuda, Legabe HaFrash Shechala, and that last little story of Reb Zera and Ula. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.